Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black, the Yarn Encircled, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Acknowledge my mob, my father's side, 1 year Gunga leader up there, Burketown, Dumbujee Way. And my mother's side with me in spirit, Darnley Island Arab. Best of both worlds. And a big shout out to all my mob across this country and to wherever you are listening here for the daily program National Talk Black. Like I said, you can have your say, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text our brother 045-714-0550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all the traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, you mob, and have your say too deadly. All right, we're going to jump straight in and catch up with yarn there with beautiful sister Vanessa Lee Ahmet, associate meteorologist, but also doing some other work in regard to the art space and a business opportunity, cash flow for our beautiful artists, grassroots or the elite digital platforms to economically empower Indigenous artists. And we're talking about the company space, Walking Between Worlds. We've got sister come to join me here in the studio. Vanessa, very good morning. How are you, sis?
Oh, good morning, Trevor.
Just grab that microphone there. My sister, thank you very much. Morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
So I'm from Nyupungati and Miriam people, or Mur in the Torres Strait, Cape York in the Torres Strait. I live on the land of the Kukunyalanji people.
Yes.
And it's just so lovely and refreshing, let me say that.
Beautiful.
It's enhancing my spirit as I sit here and speak.
Yeah, and when you say enhancing your spirit, because you've been working away from home, haven't you, for so many years. Quickly paint that picture, where you've been and what made you come home.
I did my first qualifications in education. I went back up home to the Torres Strait. I worked at Hope Vale for a few weeks, went home to the Torres Strait, was teaching for 10 years. Then,
as in primary school, high school?
I did behaviour management specialist.
Okay.
So that was from preschool all the way through to 12 years old. Mm. I developed
a lot of adults need that training.
That training helped me work with adults.
There you go. All right.
And then, I set up programs for sports programs, environmental programs. I linked up with nutrition programs for young people, and I ran that, put that in place, got funding for them, everything, and I got an award for that.
Yes.
And which was
so really, how long ago was that?
That was in 2005 I got that award.
Okay, beautiful. Congratulations,
and
yes.
Thank you. And then my grandmother was adamant that there was more to me, for me in my life and to spend
the
it all.
The elder has spoken.
Oh, she did. In more ways than one, that finger went up and she pointed it straight at me.
Growl.
Yes. And when she finished growling and saying her piece, she went back to gardening and there was nothing I could say or do.
Yeah.
So there you go. Saw me getting my master's in public health.
It was a one-way conversation, wasn't it?
Well, it was two-way because the ancestors were there as well.
Beautiful.
And my grandmother and, yeah. We're sitting outside in the garden and I was the third person who had no say.
There you go. Thank you. Okay, thank you.
But the ancestors spoke with my grandmother.
And when they speak, you listen.
Wow.
And then you act.
Wow. That was it. My word it was. So then I did my master's in public health at the University of Queensland.
Mm.
Majoring in Indigenous health, and I went across to Bangladesh and I looked at vitamin A deficiency in pregnant women, and I was there for 5 months. I lived there and my research was enough to encourage the World Bank to actually invest in nutrition and vitamin A programs for women and children across the whole of Bangladesh, which is fabulous.
And did that come to fruition?
Yeah, it's still in place today.
Beautiful. Good on you.
Yeah. And so, but when I came back to Australia, UQ said to me, University of Queensland said, why don't you do this as a PhD and go back to Bangladesh? And I was like, why don't I do this for my own people?
Thank you.
And
exactly.
So, yeah. And so, and then Griffith University offered a job with doing a PhD. So I went across to Griffith University and I did my PhD D there, and I focused on the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Services in Queensland because I'm from Queensland. I didn't want to have that argument across all the other states.
You begin nothing really.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, start at home. That's what you did, yes.
Yes. And then I did that, and I've been doing a lot of work in policy. So I've taken that knowledge from my PhD of the policies that actually prevented our people from accessing health services, from, you know, that stolen generation, the child protection policies, all of those policies that have impacted on our people. And I have this, you know, that fascination. Most people have a fascination for words and stuff. I have words too, but numbers.
Numbers.
Yes.
Numbers. Okay, so you love numbers. The fascination was there.
Yes.
So were that
and data. So I was able to look at policy and look at how the policies didn't align with the data sets, and then turn around and say, well, listen, they don't align. Yeah. You know, this is what needs to be done. Let's work together. And so I've spent a lot of years. I went down to University of Sydney, and I still work at University of Sydney externally and or remotely. And and I work with different organisations and governments from all over the world on Indigenous suicide prevention, Indigenous well-being and wellness.
Yes.
Like, when I say Indigenous, I mean Indigenous people globally.
Yes.
Not just Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. I also do Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people policy, like the health performance framework and stuff like that.
And you're doing that right now?
I've sort of eased off a lot of that work so that I could focus on this work, because this
walking
work...
Walking between worlds.
Walking between worlds.
Let's have that conversation. And what is walking between worlds?
Walking between worlds is a social impact project that we're doing. And what we're doing is empowering Indigenous artists.
Mm-hmm.
Indigenous with the lowercase I, meaning that we're doing it globally.
Okay.
Yeah. And our MVP, which is the minimum viable product.
MVP is a minimal viable product.
Viable product. That's the first place.
I thought you were talking NBA, championship MVP. But okay, in Australia.
Well, you can shoot hoops. It's really deadly.
Beautiful. Thank you. There you go. Let's bring that into the conversation. So, walking between worlds. So, this is into art, into business, stepping away from what you've been studying and what your doctorate at.
It brings everything together.
Okay. Please explain.
So
had to use that
brings,
term.
Yes, thank you, Pauline. what it does is bring everything I've been doing together, because I'm looking at how the different policies and like our grassroots communities and our artists from our grassroots communities, who struggle to get their work recognised, and at the same time, the communities are continuously caught in that cycle of poverty.
Yes.
So what we've done is we've set up this model where we are actually empowering communities through charitable organisations within communities, as well as the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we're talking people, grassroots, at home, in the backyard, up there in Thursday Island, you know, up there in Pomperau.
In Yarrabah.
Doing the artwork in Yarrabah, whatever the case may be.
Over in Tiwi.
And
over
then here's a platform where they can put their work online and receive benefits from it, or payment, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also talking ongoing residual.
Yeah.
Payment.
Exactly.
Because we were talking about...
So this is through NFTs.
Okay. And NFT, what's the acronym?
Non-fungible token.
Non-fungible tokens. Okay. So empowering Indigenous artists and creators. Okay. So non-fungible token.
NFTs.
What's that?
Yeah. Well, an NFT means that we can actually track. A number goes on your piece of art, and as we put it up as a digital token online, and it links, you know, like digital token, and it links into that cryptocurrency market. So a lot of artists would have been reading, and it was on 60 Minutes not too long ago.
Mm.
A lot of artists will be reading now about how non-Indigenous artists are turning their arts into NFTs or cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency, so it becomes a financial vehicle, but we're talking a passive ongoing residual income, a payment.
Yeah.
Here for the individual, for the artist.
Exactly.
Are you talking directly working with the artist? Are you talking about cutting out our art centres in our communities, or are you working with them? Or explain that space.
Well, what we're doing is we're cutting out the expert. So, you know, usually when you sell a piece of art,
yes,
right, so they have to have their, you know, that it has to go through the money. The money is transferred across from bank account to bank account to bank account.
Mm.
Okay, so by doing it this way, we're not transferring across to bank account, and people take their interest. No, no, no. We are working directly with the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so we're working some in some sections, or well, in some communities, I'm working collectively with the art centres.
Okay, yes.
And in some communities, I'm working completely with the Aboriginal and Torres Strait artists.
Artists.
Themselves.
Okay. Yep.
Yep. And it just depends on the artist. Some artists want to work as a collective. Some artists want to do it individually.
Individually, yep. And it's their choice.
And it is their choice.
Their choice.
That comes back to that point where, you know, if the Arts Centre is a non-charitable organisation, if the Arts Centre is a charitable organisation, then the artist can actually put them forward to be on the list to receive donations.
Commissions, sure, exactly.
From the sale of their artwork through the NFT.
Yes.
Yeah, so the artist, of course, walks away with the largest amount.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
yep.
So from that piece that's sold, so the artist might get, say, 30%, right, as the artist, and that goes into the artist or the artist pool if there's a collective of artists.
Yep.
Right? And then 30% goes to Walking Between Worlds, mm-hmm. and that's our platform.
Yep.
Now, there's 12 of us, roughly about 12 of us, and, like, we're talking about people who do algorithms, people who do data codes, people who do the insurance side, people who do the marketing side.
Sure.
So we're doing all of that for the artists.
All professionals in all fields at the table to make this vehicle viable.
And to give the artist the least amount of headache.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so all the artist has to do is create.
Okay, they don't have to be IT savvy?
They don't need to be IT savvy. They don't need to know about the internet. We do ask them that they know how to use an email. That's really important.
Yep.
But everybody knows that. We learned that, I don't know. I remember I was 1985. Yep. 1995 when the emails came out.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That's right, exactly.
I was young. I was like 15.
But they're young artists out there who are IT savvy anyway.
They are. And they're
and they just see this as a beautiful, fantastic opportunity.
And you know what? Even the artists that are older.
Yeah, beautiful.
The older generation, they're looking for change. They've worked their arts across different platforms. They're doing the markets, you know, and they're saying to me, Vanessa, you know, how do we turn our artists into a digital platform?
Yeah.
And so how do we get that conversation happening? How do we move our art so that people all over the world have access to our art?
Yeah, beautiful.
How do we make that change? How do we show them our connection to country, our beautiful country, and what our art means to us?
Yeah, beautiful.
And how do we tell our
story? It's a platform. It's also tell our story. It's a platform as well. Tell our story and tell the true story, true Australia. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And the true representation of Australia globally.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know?
So you had these conversations with art centres?
I've started having the conversation with art centres. I've spoken to four different art centres now.
Are they open to the conversation?
They're
sort of looking at you.
They are,
thinking,
but they're not saying no. So the thing is, people are confused because they're really unsure.
They're looking at you as another agent.
Well, they're looking at me as another agent, but also like as though I've got two heads, and I'm like, no, only one. Look here.
Yeah, shut up. Two eyes.
and so then they also have that conversation with me, and I'm sending them emails, I'm talking on the phone to them.
Communicating with them.
You know, quite often the art manager, I've only had one case where the art manager actually said to me, I don't think this is something that we could do, but I will put it out to the artists.
Beautiful.
And I said, that's all I ask.
They need to do due diligence in looking after their artists.
Exactly.
Let them know all the different avenues.
That's
right.
And
here's a new one.
That's right.
Have a think about it.
You know.
Here's Vanessa's number, what have you.
Yeah. And some of the artists will actually say to me, look, I don't own an iPad, but I've used an iPad, but I can't afford it. And so now I'm talking to Arts Queensland.
Yes.
And I've asked them, you know, like, how do I get funding to get iPads?
Thank you. For the artists.
For the artists.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And if, you know, like.
That way they can be IT savvy.
That's right. And maybe get the
focus on the art.
The art centre to hold iPads.
Yeah, beautiful.
So people can go into the art centre, work on their work at the art centre on the iPad.
Beautiful.
So if we get 3 to 5 iPads per art centre, you know, that's a huge step.
The old phrase, high tide rises all ships.
Oh, I love that phrase. Yeah. That's deadly. I come from an island.
Thank you. There you go. Three times you can mention my name. The fourth time you can have that, sister. But it's empowering, you know what I mean? And we all are getting it together, you know? We're all succeeding, so to speak. The artists themselves are selling their beautiful work and everyone, you know, well, gets their cut in regard to business, but it's a beautiful space.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, we're looking at putting 30% into Indigenous charities chosen by the artists.
Beautiful.
And, like, so it's not just someone, you know, the criteria is that the charity must be Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander.
Okay, beautiful.
You know, like, and that could be a charity for domestic violence, for suicide prevention.
Men's group, women's group, whatever.
You know, like, you know, we might have an artist from the Torres Strait, for example.
Yep.
And they might turn around and say, oh, we want a percentage of our work to go to Murukoskere, you know, and we want them to make an Aboriginal men's group.
Yeah. Beautiful.
You know, for domestic family violence.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Exactly.
And we're, you know, we're starting to cut out the middleman and we're saying, all right, we actually have empowerment. We have control over our lives.
And we've got the answers to our problems, the solutions to our problems. And it's from the inside out.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
That's from where we come from.
You know,
the
what is that?
In.
That Redfern statement. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we have the solutions.
Yes, beautiful.
The blueprint.
So to all our beautiful artists out there who are listening in, how do they contact you, Vanessa, to the mob just listening, tuning in, Vanessa Lee Armat, and driving the ship, walking between worlds. That is a company, a business entity as such?
It is.
Walking between worlds?
You can get online and have a look. Page, www.walkingbetweenworlds.net. We also have the webinar and
.net.
Yep.
.com.au.
.net. That's
one
it.
Word. Walking between worlds. S on the end. .net. Check it out, your mob. Yep.
Yep. Or you can get online, and also there's the webinar link that we're running a live webinar next week on Wednesday. Walking Between Worlds, all one word, .webinar. I'm just looking at the NINJA, Webinar Ninja, one word, .com/live-webinars.
Okay, read that out again.
Okay, so Walking Between Worlds, .webinarninja. .com/live-webinars. So live-webinars.
Okay.
So, and yes, and you can contact me on, I'll give you guys my email.
Yeah, do that. Okay.
Yeah. So it's Vanessa@blacklorikeet.com.
Vanessa@blacklorikeet,
all one word, B-L-A-C.
Black Lorikeet. How do you spell Lorikeet?
blacklorikeet.com.
.com, lovely. That's your email. So for you mob there who want to have some yarns or conversations or get more information, Vanessa@blacklorikeet.com.
Yep.
Contact Vanessa there if you're an artist. Or if you know of, if you've got a family member who's an artist, here's a fantastic opportunity. If you are with an art centre, you can go through your art centre. Okay.
Yep.
Or bring the Art Centre to the table in regarding your conversation with Vanessa. Look, it's a fantastic opportunity. And we're talking about creating a space where their art is online. It's sold.
Yep.
Okay. But people can always purchase more of that art, that particular art.
Exactly.
And there's ongoing residual income.
Well, so when we get online, so when we talk about cryptocurrency or NFTs, we're talking about the artist creating a community for their artwork.
Okay.
So we've got these grassroots artists and they might be able to put up, say, 50 pieces of work, right? And like, so we create a community for their work.
Okay.
And so, and all of a sudden, you know, people buy, so you might get 50 investors who invest in their artwork. So we have a community of 50 investors for this artist. Then there's the resale. And then it just continues to grow.
So have you got buyers in your pocket?
Have we got investors in our pocket?
Yes.
We may have.
Yeah. There you go. Okay.
Bring your artwork.
I've got the people here who want to buy artwork.
Oh, yeah.
If they like your artwork,
yeah,
you've got a sale here.
So we've been marketing this for quite some time. Yeah. So Tim has been doing – he's the CEO.
Big shout out to Tim. Yep.
Yeah, big shout out to Tim. And he's in Sydney.
Okay.
And he's been on Twitter. He's been on – there's a whole team of us.
Sure.
We've been doing this marketing.
Any other First Nation people at the table?
Yes, there are. There's three of us.
Okay.
Yep.
Out of 10?
Yep.
Okay, yes, yes.
Yep. Out of 12.
Out of 12, okay. Yep.
And actually, there could be four now. We just asked another person to join us.
Okay.
Yeah, Liam Ridgway. And so, you know, and these are people that have that knowledge of data.
Yeah.
People who have that knowledge of artists, people who have that understanding of how to communicate with communities.
Or entrepreneur thinking and passion.
All joined together.
Exactly.
Back, you know,
exactly.
And that's what I was saying to you. It's about team. Bringing everything you do together into one space. And that's what we're doing here.
Oh,
economically, you know.
Murray don't even draw. I'm going to start drawing now.
So that empowerment of Indigenous people, like it's that economic empowerment of communities.
Yeah.
You know, we're changing the paradigm. We're shifting the thinking.
Well, we are living in the 21st century. This is the information world.
Exactly.
And are you online or in line?
Yeah.
So forever changing world, and change is inevitable. So a mob out there who are an artist, grassroot, wherever you may be, okay, here's an opportunity to change. Change is the engine of growth.
Oh, yeah. And, like, it's, you know, we're walking between worlds.
Yeah, beautiful, lovely. There it is.
We're bringing the oldest traditional culture into the newest digital platform.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, that's our mob having power. Feet in both camps.
Oh, they
cultural
do.
Strong in the business world.
Exactly.
Online.
And that we're asking them to share their storage to share their knowledge. Now, I want to be very clear, we do have a cultural protocol set up.
Yep.
And we do have and in that cultural protocol, we consulted with a lot of Terry Jenke's work. And we also consulted with Create New South Wales work. We also consulted with Bibi Barber. So we did this properly with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander copyright people.
Yes. And so, protocol and respect.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, so those discussions have happened and we're bringing those people, you know, so when we bring the artist to the table, we can have that proper conversation where questions can be asked.
Sure. And it's a relaxed atmosphere.
Oh, of course.
Nothing beats black on black. And we're talking that, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so it's a beautiful space and get educated and use this vehicle. We can help you teach you how to drive it. Got your learner's driver's license. But as soon as you
and then we take it globally.
Beautiful, take it globally.
That's it.
Good. Beautiful, Jan. We're going to be in touch. We're going to yarn about this. So we've talked about a couple of times now regarding the space and having you back in Cairns, Far North Queensland, having your home, my sister Vanessa. So this is a great opportunity. And it's to our mob out there, get in touch with Vanessa, vanessa@blacklorikeet.com. And check out walkingbetweenworlds.net and all the information there as well about turning your art piece into a financial vehicle in the best way, in the space of business as well as protocol of art, culture.
The collections will generate, I tell you, engagement and empowerment across communities, Indigenous communities, starting in Australia and just going globally.
Beautiful. Hey, Vanessa, always good to catch up with my sister. We're going to be yarning a lot more on this. Watch this space. We will talk soon. Thank you for being you. Great to see you, sister, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks, listeners.
Too deadly. Beautiful yarn. Vanessa Lee Ahmet, social epidemiologist, but also now the other hat she's wearing in regarding walkingbetweenworlds.net. Check that out. And it's a digital platform to economically empower Indigenous artists. A very powerful opportunity there, your mob, and that may empower people to bring their art form to the surface. You know, if you're a truck driver, or if you're a pole dancer, whatever the case may be, you can get in the art and do your thing, shake your booty online. Probably a wrong phrase that you use, but anyway, where my mind's at, too deadly. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong here? National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry.
I'm 24/7, never closing up shop. And all the haters only hate, cause they can see why we're hot. And I don't give a shit, so what? Feel it or not, cause it'll take more than you for me to stop what I got. So I will not give up yet, I will not do regret. I will not let another sucker ever forget that I will take a stand, and I will make a plan. And I will, cause I can, cause I can, cause I can, cause I can.
Yeah, that deadly track is I Can, and yes, you can. I Can is more important than your IQ. So get focus on your I Can. Make it happen. Everything you want in life is outside your comfort zone, you mob. So get uncomfortable to get comfortable. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dindi country. And that's BBM 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the National Digital Radio Service. National Talk Black, have you say, 1-800-422-416. All right, catching up with the boys in blue, just the boys in blue, no girls here. All right, we'll talk to them anyway. We're talking to Senior Sergeant Linda Lai and Police Liaison Officer Stephen Brent. Boys, come and join me. And Which Way Yarny, which is proudly sponsored by Pekoni, IGA, that's Brinsmead in Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here at Mama Bripper Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle, the message we deliver. And it's about choosing a banana or an apple rather than a Kit Kat or picnic. Gentlemen, how are we? Good morning.
Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Trevor.
Good to see you both. Good to see you both. Thank you very much. I don't know why I said that twice, because two of you here. Okay, beautiful yarn we got here. Joyriding and vehicle theft.
Yes.
Now, a lot of our young ones are doing some naughty stuff out there and, put themselves in a dangerous position, but also public. You know, out there as well, but also the use of a car and the break and entry to get the car, all the above, you know. So it's escalated in the last 10-odd years, you know, and so let's talk about that, joyriding and vehicle theft.
Yeah. So joyriding is not a word that people like to use because it is actually vehicle theft, and fortunately for a lot of the young children, and they're becoming younger and younger that get into these vehicles. Some of them don't think that they're committing an offence because they're not the one driving the car.
Yeah, but you're accessory. You're in the vehicle.
So it's the same offence that they've committed. And, that's something that we need to have those conversations with children and let them know if one of their friends turns up and you know that car isn't theirs, it's probably not a car you want to be sitting in because you'll be charged with the same offences as the driver.
Well, exactly, as the driver. And the driver will be, of course... charge also for driving without a license because usually they're underage, aren't they?
That's right. Yep.
So you're not getting charged because you're not driving a vehicle, but you're still getting charged.
You're still stealing the vehicle.
You're still stealing the vehicle. There you go.
Oh, unlawful use is the offence, yes. So, and joyriding in a vehicle brings all the dangers of, if we look at our Fatal Five, it ticks off a fair few of those. They're normally speeding.
Yeah.
They're not, the driver's not normally a responsible person, so seatbelts aren't a priority for them.
Yep. And the rules on the road.
The rules.
Red light, green light, what
Absolutely.
Have you.
Absolutely. And they're driving around whilst distracted as well because they're just doing it to have fun.
Mm. And music blare and whatever.
Yep. And a lot of the time the driver isn't an experienced driver.
Drinking and smoking at the same time.
Yep, and unfortunately, a lot of the time, it ends in one way, and that's with a vehicle accident, and that's where we see the tragedy of children being maimed or killed.
Yeah,
and families having to deal with that loss. So, it is an important thing to talk to your children about and walk through those consequences with them and have those conversations.
And look, the other sad thing is there's been fatality out of this. You know, if not the occupants in the car, then innocent people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yep. And if there's a fatality, that changes the game completely because then there's some very serious offences.
Yeah, whether it be murder or manslaughter or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, that's
right,
dangerous operation of a motor vehicle causing death.
And if you survive, even though you're part of the occupants who steal in the car or in the car and you wasn't driving but you're still a part of it, and someone dies, you got to live with that.
You do. Yep, absolutely.
That's the other thing, you know.
And they're not the things that these children are thinking about when they're in the vehicle.
Yeah, no, of course they're not.
Yeah. So it is an emerging issue that is getting a lot of media attention as well. You know, certainly when there are deaths on the road in a stolen vehicle, certainly that gets picked up.
Yeah.
And, you know, there doesn't seem to be an easy solution to this. It's a whole of community problem and something that police, families, everyone needs to come together and try and stamp out.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. So talk about you've got some laws here and numbers with the laws. Are they the go by the law books?
Yeah, so
that's 328A.
Yep. So that's the dangerous operation of a motor vehicle. That's just the
number of that crime of that particular.
Well, that's the section in the legislation.
Legislation. Thank you. Okay.
Yep.
So 328 is dangerous operation of a vehicle. Yep.
Yep. That's right. Yep. And if we look at that one there, you know, we're looking at 200 penalty units or 3 years imprisonment. And okay. I know Steve's done some homework on that.
Yeah, just some research on that, Trevor. A penalty unit is equivalent of $163 approximately. So 200 units would be roughly about $28,000.
That's a fine that you got to pay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or 3 years in prison if you haven't got the money.
3 years, yep.
Yeah. So that's the maximum offence, maximum sentences that...
Dangerous operation of a vehicle.
Yep. Yeah. So that anywhere between zero and that is you can expect for a consequence or for that offence, you know. And if we look at unlawful possession or unlawful use of motor vehicle, their maximum imprisonment can be up to 7 or even 10 years.
But we're talking about kids here.
That's right.
Is that the same punishment for a child?
So no, absolutely not.
No.
But the reason we have those conversations with them children is once they turn adult, that is
18.
a lot likely consequence. So we're trying to model or shape those behaviours of children at a young age.
Mm.
So yes, absolutely, this time around you might not go to jail and the consequences might be minor. And there's a good reason for that, because we want children to have those opportunities to curb their behaviour. And
look, that's a big conversation at the moment across the country regarding imprisonment of children.
Yes.
I think 14 years is the age. They want to make that lower because younger kids are even doing the crime.
Yeah.
But that's the debate that government's having.
Absolutely, and there's a huge debate surrounding children being in custody, whether that's the best option. I'll leave those opinions to
everybody else. Yeah, it was that opinion. Else. Yeah, but like you said, do you put the child in prison? No, but do you leave them out and then they do something wrong and they, kill somebody or kill themselves?
That's right.
I don't know. It's just a conversation. Now 408A. What's that law?
Yeah, so that's the unlawful possession of a motor vehicle. Okay, and that offence is committed, like I said, whether you're driving...
Aircraft or vessel as well.
Mm. Exactly.
Yep. Boat or plane.
Boat or plane. Let's hope they're not stealing planes. That'd be a worry.
Hello. Helicopters, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, there was a case I can recall. One of my former senior sergeants told me in Mergen, back in the 70s when he was a junior officer, an Indigenous male had stolen an aircraft.
Did he really?
And
the brother knew to fly it?
And... no idea how to fly it. He just pulled the, obviously, throttles, levers, and then it started and he landed it.
I believe I can fly. Yeah.
I wouldn't risk it.
No, thank you. That's right.
An aircraft.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a long way up there.
Yep.
So that's 408A, unlawful use of possession of motor vehicle, aircraft or vessels. Yeah.
That's correct. Yep. So a tinny, simple thing, a little tinny, we go and pull the cord and off we go. Mm. And but you're committing some fairly large offences there by doing that.
Yeah.
So.
And we're talking imprisonment of 7 years here, if not 10 years.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yep. Again, we just go back to the consequences of the injury or death is our big fear to the people in the vehicle. Or
you can always get a new car, get a new boat, but life.
Yep.
That's different.
Well, that's the thing. Is also, Trevor, is a lot of these victims, could be elderly. For that sake, if that car's written off, there is no way they're going back to the bank to get to recover that car.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
You know, they pay $50,000 or $70,000. That value.
The financial hurt as well. Yep.
That's correct.
The emotional hurt.
And some of them aren't insured.
That's correct. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So Steve's dead right. If they lose that vehicle, that's their only mobility sometimes.
Also, and the people out there who been broken into, I mean, that in itself is a fear factor. You know what I mean? People who've had it happen to them, it's not a good feeling.
No, that's right. Yep.
And you're walking around looking over your shoulder.
Yep, and they are. They're afraid, and then some people are so afraid of living in that address that they leave the address. You know, which is sad that that's what they believe exactly. they need to do to make themselves safe. So.
So, look, we're coming up to silly season. Christmas is on, you know, but these young kids, joyriding and vehicle theft, it's not even waiting for Christmas. They're doing it across the 365 days a year, you know. We just need to be alert. But we need to do our bit regarding locking up, putting the keys away, you know, all that sort of stuff as well, you know.
So crime prevention is a huge part of preventing the crime to occurring in the first place. So, yeah.
Are you finding these kids are not using the car keys? Are they hot-wiring cars?
So you don't get too many hot-wired cars. Yeah.
A lot of these offenders is just with property being left open.
Sure.
At all hours.
And they get the keys.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, a lot of these premises are unsecured at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and certainly a lot of the newer cars need the key to start the car, so you couldn't hotwire it as such. So
exactly. Yeah,
but I know even in Cairns recently we've had a stolen forklift. You know, so children that have stolen a forklift and
there
driving around. So
exactly.
You know, so they're it's not just isolated to people's vehicles.
Exactly.
It can be machinery as well.
All right, so prevention. Yeah, know where your kids are.
Yep, absolutely.
Of course,
very important. Have those conversations with them, speak to them about the consequences, and have good mentors in your life. You know, that's something that we raise all the time here. You know, the good mentors. It takes a community to raise a child, so make sure you have those good mentors around them.
Mm.
And most importantly, if you know that there is a stolen vehicle circulating and you know who may be responsible, contact your local police station or Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000.
Well, we're all in this together, aren't we?
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Yep. So we need to get that car off the road.
And that young person who's stealing a car, if you know who they are, well, you say, well, dob them in, make the phone call, because otherwise you're saving their lives or other people's lives or, you know, or going into bigger crimes, you know?
Yep, absolutely. True.
So, look, beautiful conversation. Thanks for sharing, boys. All the best to the mob there at Edmonton Police Station. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll yarn soon before Christmas.
For sure.
Two Deadly Brothers. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay from Edmonton Police and his bodyguard there. That's the brother man Steve Grant, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, and a bit of pole dancing on the side. No, that's not true. He's laughing there too. That's not true. He's too deadly. Have you saying yarn up strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416 with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. National Talk Black, your program.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
I was dreaming about a man in the desert. He was walking and calling my name. And above him, I could see a bird flying higher and higher into the sky.
Yeah, Desert Dreaming, name that deadly song, deadly name at Sats. That's Ronnie and Jimbal. And this is your deadly program, National Talk Black. We're going to catch up with Selwyn on the line. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother. I told him that my story about it, being a knockabout. I can go from here to Perth or anywhere, any city, even Sydney. I end up in jail under the bridges, in the parks, in empty squats, brother. I want to get moving. I can, we're knock about a black fella, stories of, you hear stories about some black fellas, they will say to other black fellas, oh, you wasn't a black fella. Now when funds become available, you wasn't a black fella then.
Mm.
But they go to
you're a black fella now because of the monies.
Yeah, and I never gone to, but not too many protests at all. The biggest protest, most of them were prostitution. Getting chucked out of the pub. Getting chucked out of the pub all the
That's a protest.
March, yeah, and the march, most march I've been in, like, the underground cells, one night stand in Darwin, when you march across the road to the courthouse in handcuff, and a lot of those marching. But anyway, brother, I can go from you wasn't a black fellow one time ago, but I was some kind of black fella. I wasn't a black fella. I was a different kind of black fella, brother. Mm. I was the kind of black fella that spoiled it for everybody else. I'm the kind of black fella that spoiled it for everybody else, you know?
We got a reputation out there. Don't ruin it.
Yeah. But anyway, brother, what I'm trying to say is it's those kind of the underdog, you know, the underdog black fella. Yeah. There's a lot of privileged black fellas too, brother. If I go to a certain town or city, they can tell you, we yarn, brother, we yarn. Mm. Even under the bridge there, Mount Arthur, brother, who's a deadly black fellow, who's the one that are gambling black fellows, brother. And what I'm going to talk about is, I had the women there saying that we're going to know where children are, and that's true.
Yep.
But the thing is, brother, and I hear you say you can't be black on black, and I disagree with that because they are black fellows. That, you know, my 16-year-old, she's been taken off me about a month ago, brother. Yeah. And her first cousin was the little boy that got taken off him and given to white kids down at Sandown Close. Mm. He got hit with a car. He was unsupervised, brother. And my other 17-year-old, she's coming good now. She's the one that they took off. And I didn't know that. Women come around in, the safety officers come around in. She had to sign papers, but I didn't know where she wants to go stay with her friend. Mm. And I didn't know those friends were, but ended up signing it to her mum, and their mum was staying at Three Sisters. And from there, she self-harmed, and she went up to Arakoon, and she came back on flying doctor, and she got an adolescent ward, and they took her off me. The wisdom of the children's service, they live. And this one now, that's 16-year-old now, you know, yarn about cars being stolen, you know? Being stolen meaning cars taken out with the owner's consent. Well, what about when children get taken off parents without, like my consent, it's called, I feel like, bloody, you know, the F word, it's called remove, brother. Mm. You know, they remove the children. And my 16-year-old, she's in St. Margaret, brother, and it wasn't because of me. I was down, as a matter of fact, I was watching a woman away, and the two, we made a two-bedroom unit, and anyway, the 24-year-old and the 7-year-old just gently told her to clean her room, and there was a few suspicious stuff there, and they found two of them, vaping thing, you know, and anyway, she went out, and she didn't come back, so I feel that the black fellow organization, basically, that they get funding, they don't let me know, as a parent. I mean, she was at St. Margaret, and they don't take my calls no more, and the children's service to come around, but there's no issue with me. But the other fellow, a child officer, and another Maroon come around, there's no issue with me, but they won't let me talk to her on the phone. And I know...
How old is she now?
She's 16.
16.
And, you know, black fellows like me, blokes, you know, that they get their kids taken. We're going to be careful when we show passion. They say you need anger management. And when they show anything at all, oh, they don't worry about the kids. Brother, last night we went shopping, and I come back 8 o'clock, me and the other kids, and there was a crime, you know, like when there's a crime scene uptown there, I hear it in the news, where they have the ribbons round there near Woolies. Mm. I don't know what happened, but my daughter from St. Margaret, she comes, she just went down to the night market, and that's, I can't say anything, I can't do anything, but she went down there, and the fortnight before that, she was... We saw it in Esplanade, and there were some young kids there. They lit one of them bins on fire there near the library. So what I'm saying is, you know, this thing about parents, you know, being responsible, they take the kids off of them, but they call it stolen, they call it removed, brother. Mm. And, she, you know, the Murray ones that are working through them, you know, they never had him ring me up as a person. It was good fashion. You know, we said it'd be good fashion.
I can't believe that there was no communication with you as the parent.
They gave me nothing, but they're up there. I'm up there listening.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I often talk about Brother there had no peace, and he's big-headed enough. He's very cluey. He knows that when if anybody run him, I'll criticize him. Not anybody criticize him. They know they criticize the hat that he wear. And same way with these Murrays that I'm criticizing, they have to do it because Murrays might take it, oh, he's running at our family. Mm. But it's the hat that they wear. And they never showed me good fashion, but they never let me know. And that's the only time like I was able to see it, when accidentally downtown when we come back, or I go up after school, I went up after school, and I saw her there, and they stopped me from talking to her, and they never give me it. And I said on the phone, I said, if
don't you have family contact?
They never even show me. It's a wife along the same mother. Never even tell me or show me, explain to me why. You don't even. And I keep reading the message. I say, you're a professional organization. Can you show me the courtesy to tell me? And I won't bring anymore. But they never. I'm going to download all that calls that I made, but nothing was. No good fashion machine.
But you still have the other children with you, don't you?
Brother, I hope they're listening because I never got any feedback, and I'm concerned for my daughter. But she's still working. Part of her training, like being at that TA base, she goes up on top with the dome there, brother, work. And the other one, 7-year-old, she was working at Westpac, but she didn't let her stay because she didn't get the max. So, brother, I think I've done a pretty good job all that time, like foot falcon back and forth to Upper Wareham Kindergarten and T Bay but they never showed that good fashion back to me. And
single father at that, and off the drug.
Yeah, brother. You know? And for white listening, it's the parents, or it's the parents' fault. But like I just said, for white folks that got the car stolen, they take it without your permission. That's called stolen without your consent. When they take our children off it, they call it removed it and call it stolen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my brother. Good point. Thank you. Someone there, really opening up there about his story and with his child who's removed. And sad, but hearing it from the other side, that's what it's all about, and that's what the program's all about.